you want to offer the garland, you shouldn't do it in the middle of Jayarada Madhava. You can do it before or after. But when you're singing, the garland comes, it just breaks the meditation. So you should keep do it. That's why I stopped it. Okay? Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll read from Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, verse number 11. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. No. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Paramasva Chaitya Sadgraha. Pumsoyam Mayaya Kritaha. Vimohita Diham Dristas. Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Na Prahlada Prahlada. Say it right. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Param Swam Che Asad Graha. Um Samyam Mayaya Kritaha. Vimohita Diyam Drishtas. Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Param Swam Chaita Sad Graha. Pumsam Yam Mayaya Kritaha. Vimohita Diyam Tristas. Tasmai Bhagavate Namaha.
Shri Prahlada Uvacha.
Sri Prahlada Uvacha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, Para, an enemy. Swa, a kinsman or a friend. Cha, also. Iti, thus. Asagraha, material conception of life. Pumsam, of persons. Yat, of whom. Mayaya, by the external energy. Kritaha, created. Vimohita, bewildered. Diham, of those whose intelligence. Drista, practically experienced. Tasmai, unto him. Bhagavate, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. So, before I read the verse in purport, what is happening is that Prahlad Maharaj has been asked by his father what he learned in school. And he said, what I learned in school is that, you know, you're in Maya. And you should go to Vrindavan and get out of Maya. Give up this family life and all your attachments. And then his father's bewildered. What is this? He's going to school, and this is what he's learning in school. Obviously, this boy is innocent. He's been polluted by Vaishnavas. They're sneaking into the school in disguise, and they're polluting my son. So he calls his servants Skanda and Amarka, Sanda and Amarka. He says, what are you going? What are you doing? What are you teaching this boy? We're not teaching him anything. We're teaching him what you want us to teach him, how to be a good demon. But this is what he's saying. He's talking about Vishnu. He's glorifying my enemy, Vishnu. We don't know where he got that from. Must be Vaishnavas are sneaking in disguise and somehow getting into the subject matter. Okay. So then we should go back and instruct him again. Teach him right. Okay, so the teachers are a little insulted. They've been accused by Aranyakasipu for polluting his son, which they didn't do. And now they want to go back and find out who's sneaking in school. But in the meantime, they're going to give him some real good subject matters. How to be a good demon, how to destroy your enemies, how to make friends and use your friends to get whatever you need. You know, today's modern society. So, now, after trying to, you know, Prahlad responds, this is the verse. Prahlad Maharaj replied, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created this distinction of my friend and my enemy. By deluding the intelligence of men, indeed, I am now actually experienced this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources. Please repeat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinction of my friend and my enemy. By diluting the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Vidyai Vinaya Sampanhehe Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Supakecha Pandita Samadharshinaha The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog eater, a dog, and a dog eater outcast. Pandit, those who are actually learned, the equipoise, advanced devotees who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as an enemy or a friend. Instead, with broader vision, they see that everyone is part of Krishna. As confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Surubhoy Krishnera Nityadas. Every living entity, being part of the Supreme Lord, is meant to serve the Lord, just as every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one, but a Vaishnava, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living entity as Prabhu. A Vaishnava sees other servants to be so advanced that he has much to learn from them. Thus he accepts all other devotees of the Lord as Prabhus, masters. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, one Vaishnava servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. Understanding of the master begins from understanding of the spiritual master. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadhan nakuti kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Saksa dari twin samasta sastir utaksyata bhavyata eva sadbi kintu prabhuya priya eva tasya vande guru sri charanaravinda. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. The spiritual master, the servant of God, is engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, namely delivering all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, in which one thinks, this person is my enemy, and that one is my friend. Actually, the Supreme Personality of God is the friend of all living entities, and all living entities are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Oneness is possible through this understanding, not through artificially thinking that every one of us is God or equal to God. The true understanding is that God is the Supreme Master and that all of us are servants of the Supreme Lord and are therefore on the same platform. This has already been taught to Prahlad Maharaj by his spiritual master Narada. But Prahlad was nonetheless surprised by how a bewildered soul thinks one person his enemy and another his friend. As long as one adheres to this philosophy of duality, thinking one person a friend and another an enemy, he should be understood to be in the clutches of Maya. The Mayavadi philosopher who thinks that all living entities are God and are therefore one is also mistaken. No one is equal to God. The servant cannot be equal to the master. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, the master is one and the servants are also one. But the distinction between the master and servant must continue even in the liberated stage. In the conditioned stage, we think that some living beings are our friends, where others are enemies, and thus we are in duality. In the liberated stage, however, the conception is that God is the master of all living entities. Being servants of God, they are all one. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Just one mention. Today is the disappearance of Jayananda Prabhu. And tonight also we'll speak on Jayananda Prabhu as for the subject of this evening's class. But here, this is really an interesting verse. After being instructed by his teachers, Skanda Namarka, he says, Now I'm hearing what I was taught. And this is my experience. Some people think people are friends, and other people think the other people are enemies. Friends and enemies. Goes on the world, right? The whole political system is based on this. These are my friends, these are my enemies. Or you might even take it even farther. These are my kinsmen, and these are foreigners. Therefore, they're not the same. These are people who are dear to me because they help me, and I help them. These people are strangers. Like that. This is the dance of the material energy that makes one think that one living entity and another living entity is different. On the material platform, there are differences. But a devotee doesn't see on the material platform. Although there is differences, a devotee makes the distinction. So for the sake of function, the differences are somehow or other honored. Just like we know we have the women and we have the men, and then there's a distinction in service and sometimes in etiquette on how to behave. But that's for the sake of functioning on a higher level. I mean, you can't neglect the lower level. We make distinctions, but we don't see what we say one is better or one is different. Distinction for the sake of activity or for the sake of spiritual functions have to be made. Otherwise, it's chaos. But we don't make better, worse, equal, unequal distinctions. And this verse that starts off this purport really illustrates. This is a very, very essential verse. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Sapake Cha Panditat Samadarshan. Panditat Samadarshan is the key to this whole. What is he saying? One who actually sees this way is actually seeing correctly. To make distinctions based on the body is simply necessary for function. But the actual understanding is all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore all living beings are what we say equal. No living being is better than another living being on the spiritual platform. And no living being on the spiritual platform, or one who has transcendental knowledge, who can see things, thinks I am better or I am lower. This causes one to make distinctions and to somehow or other marginalize one's activities and thinking better or worse. Proud, we talked about, what is it, low self-esteem, all these things that come by way of these ideas that are distinctions based on what we conceptions of materialism. We supplant or we superimpose these consciousness on the spiritual platform, and we think of these distinctions as being the actual reality. But one who actually sees, therefore, there's no such thing as friends and enemies. In fact, the devotee never makes anyone an enemy. And Prabhupada used to say, people will make you an enemy because maybe they don't like what you're doing or they don't agree with what you're saying. For some reason, they might even try to stop you, and maybe even try, like they did to Prahlad Maharaj, like they tried to do it to Harani Kash, Srila Haridas Thakur, to Lord Jesus Christ. So many great souls were persecuted, vilified, simply because they were preaching Krishna consciousness. Simply they were trying to bring people to God. But they were hated, some tortured, and some many times, not many times, but sometimes killed. But the Vaishnava, Prabhupada says, Vaishnava doesn't hold any enemies. Even if someone becomes my enemy, I don't become their enemy. Well, one may avoid such personalities, but one sees that that personality is simply covered by illusion, that's all. A devotee sees, just like a doctor sees a patient, that this patient has a disease. And therefore, because of the disease, he's not speaking properly, he's not able to function normally because of the disease. So the doctor doesn't hate the patient, he hates the disease. Or he sees that the disease is affecting the patient and making the patient act and think in the wrong way, a different way. So a Vaishnava is like that, and he sees that the living entities in this material world are simply covered by this disease of material existence. It's called a disease. That's not a euphemism. It's actually a reality. This material world is called Bhavaro. And Bhavaro means a disease. And the medicine is Bhavasodhi. Bhavasodhi means the medicine to cure Bhavaroga. I think in Croatia they have a personality, his name is Bhavaroga. Yeah, no. He's a bad guy, right? Or is it she? Yeah, Maya. So yeah, even in the Croatian language, they have this personality that you have to stay away from. But in the Sanskrit language, this word Bhavaroga, that's how it's spelled, B-A-V-A, when it line over the A, last A, roga, means material contamination. That's what it means. And the medicine is Hare Krishna. That's Bhavasodhi. Saudi means that medicine that cures the disease of material existence. So we see there that people are diseased. They speak wrongly, they act wrongly, they even do harmful things to themselves and others, not knowing who they are. I remember I was riding on a plane one day, and I was sitting in the next to the last row in the back, and I was sitting on the window seat on the left side of the plane. And there was a man sitting in the last row with two of his two daughters. I assume they were his daughters. They were young girls. And he was sitting there. And he saw me. He didn't like me. I could see that. So he pulled out a book that he was reading. And he wanted to make a point. And he pulled out, what was that book? Dawkins. What was it? Huh? Yeah, the God is a Delusion. Yeah. And yeah. And he started reading out loud to make sure I could hear it. And he was making a point that he was making some statement by this Dawkins personality, and that, and then the conclusion is, therefore, there is no God. All of a sudden, he started to speak. And then I got the point. So I'm thinking, I don't think I should get into a fight right here on the plane. Or an argument. So I just kind of like ignored him. And at the end, we were coming, we were getting our luggage, and we both had our luggage in the same compartment. So I handed him his luggage, and I said, what did I say? I didn't say Hare Krishna. I said, thank you. And then I left. And he didn't say anything. He just kept going, doing his own thing. So I wanted to make a point, but I thought it wasn't the proper place. Because it was just like, it would have started a whole thing. So, you know, people, they want to attack you, but you have to see sometimes, it's just their ignorance. The mother gets hit by the child. And the little child says, "Oh, mother, I don't like you. Take that." And the mother says, "Be good." She doesn't punch the child back. Boom. So the devotees are, we have to be tolerant and compassionate at the same time. It requires great test. We're out there preaching, distributing books, or out doing Harinam, and we meet these people. And sometimes they're friendly, they wave and they smile. But sometimes we were on Harinam in Zagreb the other day, and we got a few reactions that weren't very positive. I won't mention what it was. And then we're just thinking, it's just their illusion. They're covered by this material energy, and they can't understand what is actually good for them. Cannot understand what is actually good. Because they don't know who they are. They're lost. And they make distinctions. This is mine, this is yours. This belongs to this country, you belong to this country. You're of this body, you're of this mentality, you're of this education, you're of this age group, you're this gender, you're this race. And so all these distinctions, all based on what we say, the divisions of material existence. And people like and don't like and act and react based on this. It's like being in a, it's like going, you ever been into a horror, one of these, they call them fun houses? You know what a fun house is? It's like during a, it's like a carnival. You go in and it has all kinds of crazy things in it. One of the things they have in there is these mirrors. And you go in front of one mirror and you look like you're like long and thin, and then you go through another one and you're really fat, and then you go through another mirror and you're really small, and you're just looking at yourself from different, what we say, images that are all distorted. And people think it's good, but this is material life. It's like that. Everybody has these distorted images of what, who they are and who everybody else is. And based on that, they make friends and enemies like that. This is my friend, and this is my enemy. And Prahlad Maharaj, he's listening to this. He has to listen to this because he's in school. And his teachers are telling him that. And he's saying, now I understand what my spiritual master Narada Muni has told me in the beginning. And then he's saying, but he's not preaching to the teachers because he knows that they're not going to listen to him. There's no use in preaching to the teachers. But he's going to preach to his schoolmates. So every time the teachers go out of the class for whatever reason, he turns and starts preaching to his schoolmates. This is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava cannot sit back and allow ignorance to go on. Somehow or other, they use their intelligence, and they also pray to Krishna for understanding how to speak the message of Sanatana Dharma that will make a difference in a person's life. We call that preaching, but it's little. Preaching is a general word that somehow or other covers everything, but it's not preaching. It's trying to right the wrong situation. It's trying to make something that's wrong right again. Or you might even say it's a mood of concern for another person's suffering. Another person's suffering. Like that. So it takes the form of speaking. It takes the form of somehow or other living the truth and trying to somehow or other look for opportunities to give that same truth to the conditioned soul. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. He's only 5 years old. He's surrounded. He doesn't have anybody there to help him. He's a lone ranger. All his schoolmates are the sons of his fathers. They're sons of the friends of his fathers, other demons. His teachers are employed by Hiranyakasipu. He's practically, he was kept in the palace by his father all alone. But he was a self-realized soul. He's a self-realized soul. Just like Srila Prabhupada, If you listen to Prabhupada, you can see he could not be quiet for a minute. You know, if someone was saying something that was not right, he would explain what is right. Just to hear about what we say, the understanding of reality in the distorted way, causes a Vaishnava to become unhappy. This is the reaction for Prahlad Maharaj. He's unhappy to hear this. He's sad because people live according to this illusion, and they want to propagate that as the way of success in life. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. He's very compassionate. But Prabhupada goes over and over, and again in this purport, is that we have to see that every living being is a spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna. That is actual vision. How do you attain that vision? Well, it comes by way of the power of your own spiritual advancement. But we can practice that. We can practice that. Instead of seeing the body, try to see that soul within the body that is making that body alive. And that soul is none different than you. All souls are ultimately part of Krishna, and Krishna sees and loves each soul equally. But the Lord deals with everyone according to how they deal with Him, or how they approach Him. So therefore there is a distinction in how the Lord emanates His equality. He's still equal, but He gives His equality in different ways. But for a Vaishnava knows that everybody is part and parcel of Krishna. One who sees actually sees that way instead of seeing the body. Only the body. It's not that you don't see the body. You also see the body. You make the distinctions based on the body. You interact based on the bodily situations and categories. But beyond that, the vision is, and Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, He says something very interesting. He says, when you thus learn the truth, you'll know that all living beings are my parts and parcels, they're in me and mine. He says the conclusion of all this philosophy is to understand that everything is in me and I'm and everything and everything belongs to me. That is reality. What is that thing? We call it the mind. The mind reflects what's inside, outside. No two people see the external reality the same. I'm seeing something, but you're going to see the same thing in a slightly different way. We may agree up to a certain point, but there's always differences in vision. You can see that even in today's world. Someone says, oh, that girl is so beautiful. The other one says, what do you see in her? That guy is so nice. No, he's a criminal. So we see differently the same thing. Even the external environment, which is somewhat neutral. Some people see certain things and others see other things, according to the vision. So material consciousness reflects what is inside, outside. Material consciousness reflects what's inside, outside. Therefore, no two people will always agree on the same thing, always. They may agree sometimes. Sometimes they agree just for the sake of agreement. But no two people see exactly the same all the time. Sometimes some people say, why don't they see it the way I see it? And they're like that. Can't you see? No. Because I'm different. I see it different than you. We have a value system. We have our own experiences. We have our own desires. And it's all reflected inside. And then it comes outside in the form of what we call our perception of reality. It's not reality, but it's what you perceive in front of you. Therefore, that's why Krishna says, when you actually have pure vision, you'll know, you'll see. You'll see the forms, but you'll see me in everything, and you'll see everything in me. You'll see every living being as being my part and parcel.
So that is pure vision. And that is Brahman realization.
And so, therefore, one who sees friends and enemies is simply one of the anarthas of material vision, seeing things according to what I like that. And things change, right? Sometimes, oh, that girl used to be my friend, but now can't stand her anymore. Or that boy used to be so nice. He doesn't change. You change your way of perceiving that person. Sometimes, this way, what does Mahaprabhu say? What is that verse? Dvaita Dvaita Bhadra Sakale Saman E Manda E Bhadra E Sakale. What is the last one? E Sama Brahma. Some people say this is good, and some people say this is bad. But Mahaprabhu said this is all illusion. There's no such thing as good and bad. It's what you perceive. Or you, what you apply, good and bad. And so ultimately, but Mahaprabhu ends by saying it's all bad. Why? Because it's not spiritual. He's using a very lofty spiritual principle to describe the nature of the material existence. That, it's all useless. Because, well, we can't function on that level unless we're on that level, but we should not understand that what is the highest level. That this whole material world is useless. Prabhupada was walking along one day. And it was in Mexico, Mexico City, Mexico. And he was with his devotees, and there was a big, big trash dump. And there was some writing in Spanish on the outside. So Prabhupada said, what does that say? So one devotee said, Prabhupada, that says, put your trash here. Prabhupada said, yes, we should put the whole material world there. So he's making a point. We have to deal with the garbage, but we shouldn't think the garbage is anything less than anything other than garbage. It's what it is. But we have to be like the male hen. What is the male hen? He can go in a garbage dump and find some seeds, and he picks out those seeds, and he takes those seeds to his little chickens. Okay. He finds the good within the garbage. So a devotee sees the spiritual principle behind everything material. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, actually he says this, I see the whole world as happy. He's seeing everyone as happy. Why? Because he's seeing the spiritual energy. He's seeing everyone accordingly. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. These teachings are very lofty, but they are the principle of reality. Okay. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. What is your name? Yashoda Dulal. Hare Krishna. As Prabhu.
Mm-hmm. So I was wondering when it is appropriate to for Prabhu to call
Mataji.
Yeah, is it popular in America?
Okay, so we're going into a nice, interesting discussion here. Do we have a few days on this topic? Recently, I just learned something about 2 years ago. I mean, Prabhupada says that the men should address the women as mother. But I find that Western women don't like to be called Mataji. For some reason, it's very Indian, and therefore if you dress an Indian lady as Mataji, she feels very honored. Western women haven't been able to make that transition yet. So we call mother. You can say mother. Mother. Mother is a term of respect. Mother is a term of honor. It takes it off the bodily platform And it gives a sense of respect and honor for ladies, which it should be there. The men should honor the ladies as being mothers, and the women should... And Prabhupada was asked by a lady, how should the women see the men? And Prabhupada said, as son. So he made that clear, that the women should be more like seeing the men more like their sons, not something just the opposite sex that I have to avoid for whatever reason. So this point is good, because that title helps to develop the proper mood, and when the mood starts to develop, the consciousness follows nicely. So there's a sense of respect by calling women. But then, 2 years ago, I learned from one devotee, who's my godbrother, and he showed me at least 4 or 5, 6 times, Prabhupada called the women Prabhu. It's actually written. So I asked him, he said that refers only to Vaishnavas. In other words, within the circle of devotees, we can see everyone as Prabhu. But not outside. That's outside, you see ladies as mother. But you still should see ladies as mother, but also at the same time. This point that Prabhupada made here in the purport, he says everyone is Prabhu. So he used to do that. He would even call some of his new ladies who came to the movement who weren't even initiated yet. He called Joan Prabhu. You can see the letter. Prabhupada writes a letter, Joan Prabhu. Later she became Vishakha Mataji. So, yeah. But at least the mood is to respect and honor other Vaishnavas. And these titles help us to develop the proper mood, which helps to develop the proper respect, like that. I heard this from one senior Vaishnava who preaches in India, and he very much taught all his brahmacharis that they should call each other Prabhu. In fact, it is a feature of that ashram that everyone calls each other Prabhu. He made it a policy, and they followed it. But one boy who joined along with his friend, he came crying to this devotee, Maharaj, and said, I can't do it. I can't call my friend Prabhu. We've been in school together since we were young, and we're friends. Now I have to call him Master. It was too hard for him. He couldn't make that transition in his mind. So, people who have the culture, they understand. When you say Prabhu, it's not a small word. Really, it means, I am your servant. And that's the mood of a Vaishnava. I am your servant. So when you address a woman as mother or Prabhu, or you address another person as Prabhu, you're basically saying, how can I serve you? I am your servant. So that's the culture. We are. If we're not in the mood of servant, we're in the mood of master. If we're in the mood of master, we're in the mood of enjoyer. If we're in the mood of enjoyer, then we are in the wrong consciousness, because we're not the enjoyer. Yes. Interesting trend. Fact. Okay. Yeah.
It was a very common greeting. And still, I see people in Munich, in West Ukraine, in the north of Slovenia, they greet each other saying, Servus. Servus, I'm your servant.
Oh.
It's Latin, Servus, I'm your servant.
Servus. Wow.
It's a very famous
greeting. Ciao.
Ciao.
Italy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, no. You better not tell him that, though. But we can appreciate that, because language is culture. It helps to bring about the proper consciousness according to a culture. And what is the culture? The culture, a culture of respect. Without respect, there's no culture. And servant puts yourself in the position of being an assistant to others rather than trying to get something from someone. That's why everything goes wrong. People come together as friends or as husband and wife or whatever reason to mutually benefit from everyone else's association. But if we come together on the basis of trying to serve, then automatically benefit is there. But it has to be on both sides. If it's not on both sides, it doesn't work. Like one devotee went to one couple went to one senior devotee, and they were arguing, husband and wife. And he said, well, Mataji, you should understand that you are his servant, and Prabhu, you should understand that you are her servant. So you have to understand that you are serving, you are servant of each other, like that. So they went home and they start fighting again. And they said, didn't you hear Maharaj? He said, you're my servant. No, no, you're my servant. You got it all backwards. So that doesn't work, and that's why marriages fall apart, because everyone wants the other person to be their servant. But if you serve in the proper mood according to what is your role, you have to know your role. If you don't know your role, then you don't know how to actuate that service mentality in the right way. You know your role, you learn that role, and then you serve accordingly, and everything works. That's why if everyone is serving everyone else and at the same time serving Krishna, the whole world becomes Krishna conscious. That's nice. That you should write that up. That's really a very powerful point. That actually language is conducive to the proper mentality. Yeah. Yes. Okay. That's you. Yeah.
There's one quote from Seneca.
Seneca?
Seneca.
Who is that?
Seneca, a Stoic philosopher. He said that where is the good in the will and where is the bad in the will? And where is neither of them in those things that are interdependent of the will. So it's practically duality is only in the false ego, in
right,
the brain.
Right. Good point, yeah. That's true. And the high, and there's no duality, is just this distinction made on this material position. And so friends and enemies, goods and bads, this, that, that. That's why everyone fights. Prabhupada says, he uses the example, two countries are fighting against each other. And one person dies seeing his enemy, and then in his next life he takes birth in that country. He becomes the enemy, he becomes his own enemy of his previous life. Because that was the last thing he remembered at death, like that. So, shows you how the material energy is just creating this idea of distinction based on what is good for me and what is not good for me. Like that. Yeah. Nice point, thank you. That was good. Anything else? Yes.
Right.
So, what is your question? Are you just making a point? She's just making a point, that's all. Okay. All right, yeah, you're correct. One, the mother sees the child as her loving little baby, and the tiger sees that same child as dinner, prasad. So who's right and who's wrong? Both are wrong. The mother sees the child as being part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna has sent this living entity to become my child, then she sees right. If this tiger sees this child as part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna has sent this child as my prasad, he also sees right. Yeah, so the connection is to Krishna. As soon as you make the connection to Krishna, then you see properly. Okay, should we stop here? Anything else? Okay, so if you come tonight, we can hear a little bit about one of the most famous Vaishnavas in our ISKCON society, Jayananda Prabhu. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prahlad Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.